Isn't God awesome? Just awesome. Just so, so incredible. I'm so thankful for what God does in our lives. You can be seated if you would like. I'd like to take and just acknowledge we have an old, when I was growing up, Jack Yance was one of my closest friends. And it's good to see you here, Nathan. I know I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I used to babysit this guy when he was little. I don't know what in the world the parents were ever thinking letting Jack and I babysit. But but anyway, it's so good to see you, and God bless you tonight. If you were here this morning, I preached a message on the power of the name, and that was actually part two of the message. When I was preparing for this, Pastor was going to be speaking this morning, and he was not able to because of his electrical short problem. I'm just kidding. So really, this morning, if you were here this morning, you received part two this morning. And this evening is going to be part one. So if you go online to listen to them, there'll be part one and part two. But part one will be the evening service, and part two will be the morning service. So just remember that if you're going to take and follow that sequence. But for centuries, mankind has been on a quest. It does not seem to matter how rich or how poor a person is. Does not seem to matter his or her social status. It seems to make no difference. Throughout their lives or our lives, we have fought, and at many times, men and women have died to attain as well as to maintain this particular thing. It's a high tribute. It brings a substantial value into the life of a person. It's often carefully guarded, as well as at times it is very much published abroad. Without it, man is really nothing among his fellows. He may have a particular title, he may have tremendous abilities, and he may have great talent. He may be able to take and go anywhere and command a great salary. Mankind has toiled in all different ways, in all different lines of work, to leave this one thing behind. The world today is filled with monuments built by this ambition. Great sculptures have been built and carved out, and beautiful paintings have been constructed to preserve it. Great battles have been fought over it. It is in our cities, it is in our towns, our villages, and in our neighborhoods. It is in our religious societies and our social circles and our families. We all have one, and we all need one. And when we die, it will be the one and the only thing that helps to preserve us. And that, my friend, is simply the power of my name. The power of the name. Now, when I was growing up in high school, it doesn't take a person very long growing up in high school for you to realize whether or not you have the right last name. And we've all been there. I went to Sun Prairie High School. A shout out there to all of the Sun Prairie High School. Brother Brunker, I actually went, your youngest sister, I believe, was in my class growing up. I want to think Julie, but I'm not. Lori Brunker. And I had no idea that there was like 45 Brunker kids. And they ranged all the way from graduating of 1980. And if you go through the Sun Prairie High School, you can see all the graduation pictures. And I think there's one that goes all the way back into the early 40s, something like that. And I'm stretching just a little bit there. But there was a lot of Brunkers. The Brunkers and the Killians. I think the Killians had 18. And I think the Brunkers were next with 13 or 14. But it doesn't take you very long to realize that at Sun Prairie High School, the last name Grant really had little or no value. It didn't get me special favors. It didn't get me grant me the ability to cut in front at the lunch line. Didn't give me any special favors with the teachers. My father did not own a pharmacy, so I didn't have the last name of the pharmacy student that went to the high school. I think it was Stradell, and the most popular doctor in town, I believe, was the Birkenbeins, and we didn't have a restaurant like the McGoverns or own a supper club or a golf course. It was just Grant, and nobody cared what my last name was. I had the last name of a president. Come on, I deserve at least a little respect. Let me in line. Cut me and let me. Give me some slack. But no. Now you get away from high school. You travel north a bit up there to Shawano, Wisconsin, to Shawano Camp. And over the years of growing up on the camp, I found out, as my friend, I mentioned Brother Jack Yance, having a last name, Grant, had some perks. Had some privileges. Now, my parents didn't always understand how we worked these perks and privileges. A lot of them, they didn't even know about. But I remember one time Carl talking to one of the night patrolmen and saying, "Do you know who my grandfather is? Do you know who I am?" It didn't work, did it, Carl? You see, but we never, it's not like we ever took advantage of the fact that our last name was Grant at camp. And but having the last right name, having the right name can bring about so many changes in a person's life. Also, having the wrong name can bring about so many changes in a person's life. Do you ever wish that perhaps that you were able to have a new name? Do you ever wish that you could just sometimes just have a completely new start, to where that a new identity in which all of your failings and all of your disappointments and all of the bad circumstances and situations that have happened to you are all left behind, and you can start out with a clean slate? Sometimes a complete change of identity might seem like the only way out. If I could just change my name, nobody would know, and nobody would associate my past with my present. Maybe for someone who has a huge debt, it would be nice to have a name change. Maybe you may have a criminal record, and if you have a criminal record, it'd be nice that when they looked up a Jedediah Smith, and I don't think anybody here would have that name, so I'm pretty safe with Jedediah Smith, they wouldn't see that you have 420 outstanding parking tickets and all of these other different problems and such. Misdeeds, when you look at the misdeeds and such that are spread all over the internet on Facebook and such and Twitter, and sometimes it's like, man, why did I post that? It's got my name and my picture right there. It's not like you can, once it's out there, it's out there. Oh, if I could just go back and perhaps leaving the old name and the old life style that you had might seem very attractive. Being able to move on without any consequences. A new name and a new start. There have been movies that have been made out of this theme. Crime thrillers, if you remember The Fugitive, and I believe it was the Net, was someone that had their identity stolen, and spy stories and all different types of crime thrillers with fake passports and fake IDs and name changes. Seems to be a big thing in Hollywood. You don't like your name? Change it. How many of you have ever heard of Harry Webb? Anybody ever hear of Harry Webb? Anybody ever hear of Cliff Richards? Now, I thought with this crowd, I could pick out some names that you would at least recognize. He was like number two album sales. He was the number two album sales behind the Beatles of all time of singles. I thought you might, would some of you 70-ish crowd that are in here would pick up on that. But okay, we'll try. How about Reginald Dwight? Few of you know that. Brother O'Neill, who is Reginald Dwight? Okay, anybody know? John Rivest? Elton John. Now, I could understand why I would probably change my name. Norma Jean, most of you know who that is, don't you? Marilyn Monroe. How about Marion Morrison? Okay, who is that? John Wayne.
John Wayne just doesn't sound the same if you say Ujima, Sands of Ujima by Marion Morrison. It just doesn't have the ring. John Wayne, that was a good name change. People's names matter. I look at Roy Howard Grant. Roy was my great-grandfather's brother, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall on a little genealogy there. So that's where the Roy came from. Howard was my grandpa's middle name, Emery Howard. And Grant, no idea where that one came from, somewhere in Scotland. So it's well that it's known that in the Bible, people's names are often important. So when you look at Adam calls his wife Eve. Eve is living or life, or oftentimes referred to as the mother of all living. We find Abraham and Sarah renamed, Abram and Sarai renamed Abraham and Sarah after God renews a covenant with them, thus making Abraham the father of many nations. When Rebekah gives birth to twins and names one of them, it was Jacob and Esau, and she named Jacob the deceiver. His name was a significant reason why his name was deceiver. And later in life, we find Jacob was renamed Israel right after he had spent a night wrestling with God. He had an encounter with God, and as a result, God changed his name. And you cannot have an encounter with God without it changing you. When you take and you have, God comes down and he touches you. He changes you. He was no longer Jacob the deceiver, but Israel, which means one who rules, or one, a prince with God. The Babylonians, when you look into history, understood the significance of names. And when they came and they conquered Jerusalem and took people into captivity, they were careful to change their names as well. And we look into the beginning of the book of Daniel, and Daniel, meaning God is my judge, his name was changed to Belteshazzar, which is give honor to the great Babylonian god of Baal. Names have a significance. The three Hebrew children, all friends of Daniel's, Hananiah was renamed Shadrach, Mishael was renamed Meshach, and Azariah was renamed Abednego. Name changes in the Bible were many times a significant event, and oft times it signaled a significant change or direction in a person's life. Here in our culture today, probably the greatest example of a name change would be when a husband marries a wife. Now, when I asked my wife to marry me, or she asked me to marry her, I'm not for sure which one that went, but I get that look over there. I've seen that look before. Am I in trouble, hon? Am I going to go to bed with no grilled cheese? I married Lois Ann Michaels on June 13th, 1981, and she has taken on my last name for some 31 years now, through the best of times, and hopefully tonight, not the worst of times. A name change is a very public commitment. The old life, the old name is put behind, as well as the start of a new name and a new life. When we look at the name of Jesus tonight, when we look at the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, for a lot of people, has just become another commonplace name. There is power behind the name of Jesus Christ. There is authority behind the name of Jesus Christ. It is not just another name. It is not just another cuss word. How many times have you ever or have ever heard someone use the name of the Lord in vain? You see, if Satan, and I use Satan with a small s because that's what he is, can degrade the name of Jesus Christ, that name of the Most High, the first thing that people, when people get into a fight, you get into an argument, what's the first thing you want to do to a person? You want to degrade their name. When you go and you start to talk about them to someone else, you want to say, you know that James Novak? You're not going to say, you know that guy in the plaid shirt, I don't want to mention his name. No, we want everybody to know that James Novak dinged up my car. Not really. The first thing we want to do is degrade their name. When we look at the name of Jesus, his name is power. You see, I look at the name of Jesus, it does not have power. It is power. When I think of Jesus Christ, I think of power. It does not have authority. It is authority. It is authority. All authority begins and ends in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, If a name will bring healing to a broken body, his name is higher than all others. He is the great I am. When I look at Jesus and I look at the various names of Jesus Christ and I look at him, he's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Mighty One, the Redeemer. He is my Prince of Peace. He is the anchor behind the veil and the Most High. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He is the Lamb of God. He is my Savior. He is my Counselor. He is my Everlasting Father. He is my Ancient of Days and the Lord our Sovereign. He is the everlasting God and the Lord our Healer. He is our bread of life. He is the door. He is the first and the last and the good shepherd. He is the light of the world. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Father. He is my friend. He is my help. He is my high tower. He is my lamp. He is my refuge. He is my salvation, my shepherd, my strength, and my power, my defense, my fortress, my glory, my goodness, my hiding place, my hope, my King, my love, my Redeemer, my rock, my Savior, my song, the Almighty. He is mighty God. Don't you dare use his name in a cuss word. He deserves more than that. What kind of a man would take and cuss someone out that laid down their life for them? Yet over and over and over again, the name of Jesus Christ is vilified, it's mocked, it's slandered, it's hated, and it's made all kinds of jokes out of. He's portrayed through popular media, and you don't even hardly have to even look for it anymore. It's everywhere. They seek to degrade him, shamelessly mock those who believe in him. TV shows, animated cartoons like South Park and Family Man attempt to blacken his holiness and assault his teachings, as well as poke fun of us as Christians. See what happens if you try to publicly burn the Quran, but you can go ahead and trash the Bible all you want to. There's something wrong! They mock other religions. Go ahead and try to mock Muhammad. See how far you get. Go out on the street corner and put up a sign with a big circle that says, "Down with Muhammad," and see what kind of a backlash you get. But put up a sign that says, "Down with Jesus," and see what kind of a news, what kind of a praise you get. Buddha, Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama comes here and they pack out the Kohl Center, 19,000 people. But you make fun of them, or you criticize or you disagree with what they say. And you're called a bigot, an infidel. I'm sick of it. My Jesus deserves more. He deserves more praise and more glory and more honor. You can take and quote other religious writings by spiritual individuals, and you'll find acceptance and a warm regard, but try taking the Bible into a public place and reading it. You get arrested for it now. Look on the news. Every day almost, there's someone somewhere that's getting in all kinds of trouble, facing a fine. People facing fines now for having Bible studies in their homes because they're plugging up the streets. All because of hatred over the name of Jesus. You look at Hollywood celebrities, the news media, they take their liberty to mock, persecute, mock Christians, mock you and I for what we believe. Why has it become so popular to degrade Christians and Christianity and hate them with a passion? Some of the comments that I've heard recently about some of our politicians that are of Christian faith, how that they people publicly on news networks make the statement that they should defecate in their mouths. Shut them up. But I can rip and snort and criticize any religious leader I want to. And it's way to go. Way to go. Pat you on the back. Good job. Every other religion that the world has to offer. And I just find it mind-boggling. It's all right to strap on a bomb and get on a bus and blow everybody up to get to paradise and call it religion and call it love. And yet I get on a bus with a Bible and I got to shut up. Why is it? It's because of the name. It's because of the name. You see, little really has changed in the world. Over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ walked on this earth, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the high priest, they hated him. They despised him. They did everything they could do to tear his name down. Hypocrisy seemingly tries to jump out underneath every rock. I mean, they always have some new breaking documentary on Jesus Christ. And the last one was, he supposedly, it was some, I don't know, scrolls or rock or pottery or whatever they found that supposedly he was having an affair with Mary Magdalene. The Da Vinci Code claims that Jesus had children. The last temptation of Christ slanders him. He's been portrayed as a homosexual. Why is he so hated by so many? Simply because he refuses to cover for the sins of humanity. And what I mean refuses to cover is he does not excuse our sin. He doesn't look and say, that's all right, we'll no longer call alcoholism a sin, we'll call it a disease. It's a social disease. God doesn't call it a social disease. He calls it for what it is. You're an alcoholic. You're a drunk. Face the fact. You need salvation. Drug addictions. Now they got a new name for drug addictions. Chemical dependence. You're addicted to crack. Face the fact. Get help. Jesus Christ can help you. You're in the right place. Oh, it's our parents' fault. Get over it. I can tell you countless people that have come into this church and that have lived exemplary Christian lives. Great model of Christians with character and integrity, and their parents never set foot in these doors. It's not your parents. It's a choice you make. It's the government. Gotta blame it on the government. Yeah, the government's got a lot of problems and it's got a lot of things wrong with it. But sin's not the government's problem. That's my heart's problem. Jesus called people out for their sins. He looked at the Pharisees and woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Call them hypocrites. Call them vipers. Call them what they were. He did not politically correct them. See, he calls sin by name. He condemns drunkenness. He condemns homosexuality, hatred, prejudice, gossip, greed, laziness, fornication. Listen, sex before marriage was wrong when the Ten Commandments was written some 5,000 years ago. It's still wrong today. Lying was wrong. It's still wrong today. Killing was wrong. It's still wrong today. He's not going to make any excuses for you. No matter what society says, adultery is adultery. Lying's lying. Cheating's cheating. Jesus is hated for the same reason now that he was hated then, because we were all born in darkness. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. We need to change. The world needs to change. We need to repent. A world needs to fall on its face in repentance. Our problem is most people don't want to fall on their face because they don't want to face the truth about their sins. You see, it's so much easier to just pass laws and legislate morality than it is to change our ways. It's easier to just go ahead and say, you know what? We can't keep fighting this war on drugs. Let's just legalize pot. Okay, pot's legal now. Let's all get stoned after church. It's legal now. Yeah!
Wait till they legalize euthanization and they take you when you're 75 years old and you got bad hips and they decide that, you know what, we're going to go ahead and just put a needle in your arm and you're going to be gone.
Listen, if they have no regard for an infant that isn't even born yet, how much regard do they think they're going to have for you when you're nothing but a load on the system, according to them? You say, oh, that'll never happen here. It's coming. Get ready for it.
It's easier to legalize abortion than it is to just stop having sex before marriage. And you say, oh, Brother Roy, you know, not every abortion is because of sex before marriage. I know, but 50% of them are. That's according to the latest statistics. I just looked them up. So if some 57 million abortions that have taken place in this country since Roe versus Wade, some 25 million babies have been aborted because of just free illicit sex. We live in a dark world, and darkness has control of it. But the darker the world becomes, the more the name of Jesus will be hated. We all have dark areas and darkness in our lives, parts of our lives and parts of our character that we don't want others to see. What happens when Jesus walks in is when he walks into a life, he exposes the darkness. Most people don't want to face the truth of their sin. They want to pretend that they're just fine. But see, pure light is hated by Satan, who will stop at nothing to smear and slander and degrade the source of that light. You see, light and darkness simply do not mix. You ever notice what you call shady people? You ever notice that they're the ones that always want to get away from the light when they want to talk to you? You ever notice they're the ones that always want to take you into the back hallway and talk? Guys around here sometimes, and you're easy to spot. Because what normal adult male would take a 12 or 13-year-old girl in the back hallway and want to talk with her? There's something going on, and you say, oh, why are people always accusing me? Stay out of back hallways with teenagers. Your character. It's pretty simple. They always want to get away in a corner somewhere. Get away in a corner. In a back room away from the light. John 3:19-20 says, and this is the condemnation. The light is come unto the world that men loved darkness rather than light. Why do they love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whosoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that he may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Reading from Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God who hath highly exalted him and giveth him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The source of light is none other than Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He died for our sins. And he rose from the grave so that we can have eternal life. When we look at the name of Jesus, it is an exalted name. It is an esteemed name. It is a special name. It is a name above all names. It is power. It is authority. It is a name with distinctions. Demons may tremble at my name. Demons may tremble at your name. But you use the name of Jesus and demons have to flee. Someday Satan himself will bow at the name of Jesus. Matthew 28:18 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
His name has power over death. His name has power over hell. It has power over the very elements itself. With his authority, he turned the water into wine. He spoke to the storms and spoke with authority. When he said, "Peace, be still," he spoke with authority that said, "What manner of this that the winds and the wave would obey him?" I'll tell you what manner of man this is. He was the man that created the wind and the waves. And he said, "Listen, wind, listen, waves, pipe down. I'm tired. I'm trying to get some rest. Enough is enough. Stop." And it stopped. That's awesome. That's incredible. That's my Jesus. We can call on Jesus when we're in trouble. We can call on Jesus when your marriage is shaky. The best thing you can do, instead of call on a counselor, and I'm not against counseling, nothing wrong with that, but get down with your wife and get down on your knees and start to repent and start to flush your system out and ask Jesus Christ to come in and refill you, and you and your wife sit there and speak in tongues together. That will solve multitude of marriage problems. You can call on him when you don't have food on the table. You can call on him if you lose your job. The name of Jesus brings salvation to a lost and dying world. Luke 19:10 tells us that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is a saving name. It is a name that points back to God. Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. By its very definition, the name Jesus speaks about salvation. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. He is my salvation. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people." From what? From their sins. For it is in his name, and his name alone, that salvation is to be found. Acts 4:12, and we're going to go through this a little bit different tonight. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is none other name," meaning neither is there redemption in any other name. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only Redeemer who was promised and prophesied as such, who has saved and redeemed his people, you and I, from the law, from sin, and from Satan. Neither is salvation to be sought and hoped for in any other name. Not in man's self. You can't do this on your own. You say, "I'm going to work out my own salvation." Good luck with that. Good luck saving yourself, and good luck in the rapture getting out of here on your own. It's not any man's self. It's not in any creature. You can worship nature all you want to, but there's not a blue whale out there, baby, that's going to save your soul. Angels or men. People say, "Oh, I've seen angels." And they put more stock in angels than they do in Jesus Christ. Be careful of those angels. Not by our own works. Listen, you can feed the homeless until there's not another homeless person alive, and you're not going to make it to heaven. It's not by good works, lest you be saved. It's not by legal righteousness. It's not obedience to the law of Moses. It's not morale or ceremonial, nor by the light of nature, or by any traditions of any churches or any elders. It's no one thing or person, no matter how great they are, as the name of kings and princes and great men of this world, or even ministers and preachers of the gospel, or even Christians and believers, have the ability to save your soul. It's only the name of Jesus has the ability to save you. No show of power or strength, of holiness or religion, none but the name of Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. For there is none other name under heaven. Under heaven is throughout the whole earth and all the nations and kingdoms of it, not even in heaven itself, among all the mighty angels there, the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, and the powers, but the Father and the Spirit. There is none with but Jesus Christ. There's none but Jesus Christ. Be given among men whereby we must be saved. What does the word must mean? When you look at that word, must means obliged to, should, expressingly, necessity. It means you ought to, have to, need to, require to, compel to. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, have to, required to, compelled to be saved. Jesus Christ is salvation. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he lived and he died so that we might live again. If our musicians would come, I love Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, what did he say? He says, repent, repent, repent. That's the beginning of your relationship. You want to take on the name? You want to take on the authority of that the name has? It begins with repentance. That's where so many of us stop. Because we're not going up there and crying our eyeballs out and repenting. No, nobody going to know what I did. Listen, he already knows, and you'd be surprised at how many other people know. Get over yourself. It's pride. It's pride. Get over it. Repentance. And be baptized, every one of you, in the what? In the name of Muhammad, Buddha, in the name of Jesus Christ. Only that name has the power and the authority to get you in front of the lunch line. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, baptize, baptize. Behind this wall right here, there's a baptismal tank that has regular old H2O water in it. At one time, it was drinkable. Comes out of the same tap you drink out of. But now it's all full of sin. It's dirty. I don't know. I can't explain it. But when you go down in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, you come up with a new name. You want a new identity tonight? You can come up with a new name. You can have a new daddy. You can have new brothers. You can have new sisters. You can have a new mama, a new daddy. Woo! Yes! And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I explain the Holy Ghost like this. You take all the universe and put it in a golf ball. All the power, all the awesomeness. It's like taking all of God and put them in a golf ball and putting them right in here. It's not all of God, but it is all of God. That's awesome. Next time you get harassed, just turn around and say, get thee behind thee, Satan. Next time your buddies want to take you out for a party and you don't want to go, say, get thee behind thee, Satan. It's about the name. It's about using the authority of the name. It's the power. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is our salvation. We can stand to our feet. Jesus Christ is coming again. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life. Freely. You can get that fountain freely tonight. You need a refilling? It's free. Nobody's going to look at you and say, oh boy, what's he up there for? Hey, listen, when I made my way back to God, it only came through an altar of repentance. And I slobbered and snotted and cried all over the place. But I don't care. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Ain't nothing down here worth it. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he will be my son. I will take on his name. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, shall all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I ask you one question. Do you wear his name? Do you want a name change tonight? This altar's open. Don't wait. Don't wait. You can have all the riches. You can have all the glory. You can have it all. And the power of our daddy's name, the power of Jesus. Won't you come tonight if you need healing tonight? If you need healing tonight, there's healing in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
There's salvation.
Jesus.
There's healing.
Jesus.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. Everything.
Protection
is in the name
of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Freedom in the name of
Jesus. Yes.
Everything I need is in that name.
I wish I would.
Won't you come tonight?
About the cross, your love, your tears, your blood, you did this for me.